Welcome to the Nicholas Natale Show. Today on the podcast, Megan Allen, healthcare advocate, personal trainer with workouts that'll blast your butt, tone your biceps, and give you some Tom Hardy traps. She's an Instagram influencer with 48,000 followers, Boutine LA ambassador, and she's about to launch her own workout gear brand. Head on over to nicholasnatale.com/shop to get yourself a sweatshirt. Plug in the NN Show 20 for 20% off. If you like the podcast, leave a 5-star review. You could be the reviewer of the week and be featured on the next episode. As always, this episode is sponsored by Little Webby LLC at littlewebby.com. Creates the best darn custom software, websites, and mobile applications. DM them on Instagram at littlewebbyllc. Say we sent you for a free 30-minute consultation. I'm the intern. You're the listener. This is Nick.
All right. We're recording. Hello. Hello and welcome to the Nicholas Natale Show. I am your host, Nicholas Natale, and we like to start off these podcasts with a big, warm season's greetings. Season's greetings, Megan.
Oh, hello. Season's greetings. What season is it? Corona season?
Corona season. It's a mix between... This is like if cuffing season went wrong, you know?
Yeah.
That's what this season is.
I love it.
Megan... We're gonna start off with some the juiciest of topics. You've worked with many brands.
I have
here that the first brand you worked with was back in 2015, and you worked with a brand called Broken Image. And the reason that this stood out to me was because I saw, because this happens, like somebody comments like, hey, like, you got a great look. You got love your feed.
Yeah.
Will you, you know, be an ambassador or so on, what have you? And you did it. And I want to know what the first experience was like doing that.
I'm completely honest with you. I don't remember what that was. My brain has been like trying to connect the dots between that. It seems like you know a little bit more. Could you give me a little refresher and then maybe I could...
On what you did? I don't know. I think for me, that seemed like a catalyst, because then you began tagging companies and brands, and you were tagging brands that you wanted to work with. And I wanted to know, like, did you have a vision for connecting with these brands?
To be completely honest with you, the way that this whole thing started was... Mm-hmm. I really liked photography. Me and my friends just kind of mess around with the camera. And I think one day we just started like tagging brands. Yeah, I think we were tagging brands, trying to get like, you know, people to see our content and get it out
exposure.
There.
Yeah.
And so it just started like me and my friends just taking pictures, and I posted pictures, and then like, you know, tag. And then along back in high school, I think I was like 15 or 16. San Diego had a really great like photographer model community, and we would like get together and like do shoots, and it was just kind of very collaborative, and everyone just kind of worked together with each other. And we would do like meetups and stuff, and we'd have like photography challenges, and like we'd have just,
what?
Yeah, and it was super fun. We'd have like a big group of us, like maybe like 15, 20 people, and we'd like break off into like teams, and we'd have like rounds, like, okay, so this round's gonna be like bokeh, so we're gonna focus on like bokeh and like the photos, or like this is like color. And so it was really fun. So I got a lot of exposure through that, got to meet a lot of cool people, got really familiar in front of the camera. And then I really didn't have a plan going into at the point. It was just like a fun thing to do, and then at some point it just kind of turned into, oh, like this could potentially be my career if I moved to the right places and worked with the right people. So it was a super, like, it just started off as a passion, which I think is super cool, because it's like doing what I love.
Yeah, definitely. How did you meet these people and like get involved in this community? Because that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it just kind of like, you just like reach out to people like through DMs, and looking back on it, it's kind of really creepy to think about, because I was like, what, this 16-year-old like little girl just got my license, telling my parents, okay, I'm just gonna go like meet up with, like, Drainick was my first photographer, like actual photographer. Yeah. I shot with, love Drainick, he got me very comfortable in front of the camera, so shout out to you, Drainick. But like, he shout was out. like we're just like so different, like I've never met him before in my life, like I could have gone and gotten kidnapped. But I didn't. I was just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm just going to go hang out with my friends. Like, we're going to go take some pictures. And then, you know, you just go meet up with random people and then you become best friends with them. So.
I mean, that's a good way to meet people.
Yeah.
And to continue to do things that you like. Out of all of... Actually, yeah. So, since starting out, do you have a favorite photo shoot that you've done? Or, like, collaboration that you've done?
Honestly, I don't have... Probably my favorite one, like the most memorable one, was the first one, because I was so like caught off guard with, like, I didn't know how to do, like, are you kidding me? Like, I don't know how to model. And so Drainick was amazing, and he just kind of like, oh, like, do this. Like, he was very vocal with me about like where he wanted me to place, which I've realized that that's very hard to come by. Like, most photographers don't know how to like communicate with their models and be like, yeah, like, that looks bad, like, stop doing that, or like, do this differently, or like, you know, give like examples of like what you should be doing. So I just think that first photo shoot I ever did was really, really almost kind of, it was like a catalyst for like doing other things, because it got me so comfortable, and like, he taught me how to like pose in front of the camera and like move around, and it just kind of made everything happen, and here we are today. That's that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah. Dang. That's wild. It's almost serendipitous how it all played out and how it was meant to be.
I know.
Did you ever slide into a DM or like meet up with someone and have like a I regret this already. I wish I didn't show up here.
I honestly don't think I have. Like, I've been very lucky in the fact that, well, I will say this, is that I'm a very good reader of people. So like, right away I can tell that like, if they're a genuine person, if their intentions are pure, if their intentions are not pure, like, I know where to look for red flags. I just have very good intuition that way. Yeah. So I've never had a situation where I'm like, oh, like, how did I get here? Like, why did I agree to this? Cause for the most part, I only like really agreed to things that like I felt comfortable with. And I like knew that, like, I plan things out. I'm Capricorn. So I'm very like meticulous with things. So I'll make sure everything's laid out. Like, plans are set in stone. Really. I mean, if anything, like, I just arrived like 10 minutes early, like I usually do to things. And they were like running a little late, and I'd be kind of annoyed, but not too annoyed. Like, things happen. Yep.
That's I agree with you there on like things where you set something up and it's at a specific time and then someone's 15 minutes late. That'll do it for me.
It'll make me a little grumpy, but I'm pretty good at being like, okay, like, wipe off the grumpiness, like, take a deep breath, like, reset everything, you know, because you never know. Yeah. Like, life's crazy. You can't hold a grudge against someone.
That's true. I mean, you really can't, or else, you know, you're going to end up hurting yourself probably more than anything else.
Everything's about how you perceive things and how you react and people's perception of you. So, you know, you gotta put on a smile, even if you're annoyed, because you never know what that smile can bring.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point of how, like, people's perception of you is what becomes the reality. And I've actually had some, I don't know what the best way to word this is, but like, lessons in this field. Like, I once had a boss tell me, like, you don't care enough about what other people think, so this is like, you're coming off like either unresponsive to their ideas or whatever, and like, not being aware of that, I think, is just as dangerous as letting it feed too much into you.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. No, it's definitely important to, I mean, definitely don't tail, like, you gotta be true to yourself, and at the end of the day, like, that's what's important, but you should take a deep breath, take a step back, and kind of like assess how you're coming off to people, because I think if you're open and people can like talk to you and they feel like they're able to like approach you about things, then it goes a lot further than being so standoffish.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So then you're collaborating with photographers, collaborating with people. Yes. And then you find another passion, lifting, working out.
Oh,
how does this intertwine with everything?
It's really funny. Well, my whole life, I did ballet. So that was kind of like my sport was ballet. I did volleyball too, but I mean, that wasn't as long. I did ballet since I was 3 up until last year. So a long time, and I'm 21 now, so 3 to 20. So that's a big chunk of time. So I think that came with ballet. Ballet is very like body, like you kind of are just staring at yourself in the mirror. I had a lot of body issues. I had a lot of eating disorders growing up. So I finally, like, I was vegan for 2 years, thought I was curing my eating disorder there, realized I was just making things crazy. I wouldn't let myself eat any oils. Like, I wouldn't eat any oil at all. Yeah. I lost a lot of body fat. Coming into my senior year, the moment I turned 18, I got a gym membership. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. I think it was just more, I wanted to like be healthy. I wanted to feel good about myself for once, because I mean you do feel like good about yourself, but just, you know, it's different when you're dealing with like a bunch of body issues. So I just kind of want to get away from that. I wanted to be healthy, I wanted to eat properly, I wanted to fuel my body in the right ways. So it started as something to be like, I'm working out so I can eat this food and not feel guilty about it. But it turned into a really big passion of mine, and now I couldn't imagine like doing life without working out, which is kind of ridiculous. Like even with quarantine and not being able to go to the gym, I worked out every single day since.
You have to.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like I really enjoyed the way it made me feel. I really enjoyed the progress I was seeing, because I've never seen myself look like that. Like, that was crazy. Even the small amounts when I was first starting out. I mean, from when I was first starting out to now, the change is like astronomical, but I really liked it. And then I started making my friends come to the gym. I got my best friend, Ashley, from when I was like, we've known each other since we were 2 and 3. We were neighbors. So I like got her to go to the gym with me. I got her to get a gym membership. And then I kind of fell in love with teaching other people. Like, I am such a perfectionist. So, like, I really liked, like, being like, okay, you're not doing that right. And then I saw that it was helping them. So I just, like, I would make all the workouts. Like, I don't think I've ever, like, I take inspiration online, but I've made pretty much every single one of my workouts for the past, like, 2 years, which is crazy, because if you look through my notes, in my notes like app, it's just all these workouts
full
I really fell in love with helping other people learn to love working out too, because it was really cool to see like people not knowing what they're doing, and then they feel confident like when they finally know what they're doing, and then that just like, oh, it made me so happy. Like, for example, my friend Ashley, she used to not like have a tricep, and so when we do like tricep pushdowns, I'm sure you know what tricep pushdowns are. But we were doing tricep pushdowns, and she would be like, I don't have a tricep, I can't do these. And then one day, she was looking in the mirror when she did it, and she's like, Megan, like she stopped what she's doing.
Saw it.
My tricep, like I found it. So it's just really rewarding for me. And then my other friend Eva and my friend Alta, we all started working out together. So we were like a gym squad. So it was kind of fun. Yeah. We'd just go out.
Rolling deep.
Yeah. We'd go after school and like just be able to hang out with each other and just work out and have fun and laugh. And we all just, you know, it makes us all happy.
You're building a community around
it. Yeah. I think that's what I don't know. I love it. It makes me so happy. It makes me happy. And then I like that I can make other people happy too. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah, it's all around rewarding for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's super. What that?
it is. I want to touch on like the. I want to touch on the food aspect of it more too, because I think like there's so many misconceptions, I guess, and I think there's a lot of. I know people that also are struggling with eating disorders
that a ton.
Haven't been able to like navigate their way out of it. And I kind of want to know your relationship with food before you found lifting to find that healthy spot, and like how you transferred out of it almost, like mentally as well as intake.
It was a lot. It took a long time, definitely. But I was very hesitant to put food into my body, or I would be nervous about eating certain types of food. And I feel like once I started lifting, I was able to make the connection in my brain that food is fuel and food won't hurt you. It'll only help you. Well, clearly there's stipulations with that. Like, obviously if you eat donuts all day, like that's not healthy.
I mean, overindulging.
The biggest thing, I get so many questions like, what do you eat? And I'm like, I eat whatever I want to eat as long as it hits my like caloric limit for the day. So I feel like a lot of people are uneducated or unaware of how many calories they should be eating a day, and it's really easy to find out. It's just like calculators online. Like for me, my maintenance for my height, I'm pretty short, I'm 5'2". So, which also has hindered me in modeling. So that's why I've gone this route with my career. But, so for my height and weight, like my maintenance, if I don't want to gain or lose any weight, is around like 2,300 calories. And I know a lot of people, I was especially there, I was thinking I had to eat 1,200 calories a day. And I would sometimes, I would sometimes even push it down to like 800, like the less I ate, the better. And it was so scary when I first started like lifting and like eating more food that I was going to gain like a ton of weight. Like it's not like I was so scared. Yeah. But once I started like fueling my body correctly and eating the correct amount of like calories, I just saw in like so many differences. Like my body stopped holding on to fat in places, and it was like adding the food that I was eating into like muscle growth, and it was, like, you know, taking care of the other fat and burning all the unwanted fat. And I think especially I dealt with it kind of again, because now that I'm super into lifting, I like go through periods of like bulking and cutting, which I don't suggest anybody does until they get their eating like in check and they don't have any problems. But like jumping up to when I was bulking this past like winter, I was eating like close to 3,000 calories a day, which was, it was the funnest thing
ever. That's so much fun.
Because I got to eat so many foods, but I tried to do a clean bulk. So it was really hard, actually. It's really hard.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was eating so much food. And just to see, like, like it got a little squishy some places, but for the most part, like, it all falls out, like, it all falls off eventually. And you grow your muscles in the way you want to grow, and like your body isn't going to hate you for eating the food. And it's just like really cool. I think that's the moment that like, while I was doing all of that, that I'm like, okay, like this is, I'm eating to fuel my body in order to see the changes I want to make. And I shouldn't be afraid of food. Yeah. So that's like the biggest thing, is don't be afraid of food. And if you are afraid of it, just kind of like alter it. And like, if you're eating, say like what you've been, you're scared of food, worst case scenario, you're eating like 1200 calories a day, just slightly increase it every day. See how you're feeling, see how your body reacts, and you'll realize, I'm crazy. I shouldn't have been doing that to myself.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely like baby steps, but just knowing that I'm fueling my body and I'm not going to look like a beluga whale tomorrow by eating the extra donut.
Yeah.
And you can eat what you want to eat, which is super fun, because people seem to think that I just eat like chicken and rice all day. No, I had a donut the other day. So as long as like your macros and like everything's kind of like stable and you're eating the right amounts of whatever you're supposed to wanting to eat, and it all adds up together, it's just a magic little combination of wonderful food and happiness. That's
What more do you need than that?
Exactly.
I freaking, I think another thing that I'm also on the top of my mind. So in the peak of my physical strength and, I don't know, aesthetic, I guess is the worst word that I can think of, but at the top of my shape, I think there was, another half of my mind that was reintroduced to kind of like body image type things. Because now my body is in peak shape and kind of like, as you mentioned, like being a perfectionist, now I'm like critiquing it to a higher degree. Yeah. How have you found balance in that?
It's a slippery slope for sure. But I think the biggest thing is not comparing yourself to anybody else. Because I feel like a lot of people get caught up in like looking at people and be like, their physique is incredible. Like, I wish I looked like that. But the sad truth of the matter is you're never going to look like anybody else. You're only going to be yourself. So every day I strive to be the best version of myself that I can be. So I think that focusing on like, it's okay to nitpick here and there because, you know, you can always improve. That's what I'm like, never going to be like, okay, I'm done now. I'm done improving. But I think that the biggest thing is not being hard on yourself about it, which is easier said than done. But I know like when days that I wake up and I'm like, oh, like I really like could lose a little bit here. Like, I feel like this should be more like snatched or, you know, I just got to take a step back and realize I can try to achieve that and make a plan of how you want to do it. But as long as it's healthy and it's not like non-realistic and you know that this is something that's plausible and my body can look like that if I take the right steps to make it. So I think it's all about looking at it with a healthy mindset and not coming at it with negative things about yourself. Cause it's okay to be like, look at yourself and be like, okay, I could change this. But instead of just being like, oh, like I really hate this about myself, look at it and say, okay, I hate this about myself right now. Say like three positive things about yourself and then make a plan that like, okay, so I have this problem that I want to fix. How am I going to solve it? And I feel like making a plan to like move towards that kind of helps too, because you're not just criticizing yourself, because then you're like, okay, well, I'm doing what I can to fix it. And then if you're doing everything you can, that's all you can do. And you know? But I think looking at it from a healthy mindset is the most important thing. Because people have a lot of self-hatred, and you should love yourself instead of put yourself down.
Yeah. It's hard to do. That's like one of the hardest things to do.
It really is. It's been, I think, what, 20 years into my life, and I'm finally like, okay, like, I don't hate myself too much. I think we're good. I think we have found my self-love. But it was a journey to get there, and everyone has their own journey, definitely.
How'd you find it? What was it, lifting, or was it internal, you know, checking on yourself?
I think lifting definitely has something to do with it, because I was in control of, like, how I wanted to look, and I was seeing changes to like move in that direction. I feel like the biggest thing was just looking inward and like looking at the things in my life that I wanted to change and like moving those things. Yeah, it's just kind of like all about progress. I feel like that's what it was. Because I could, like, I think lifting was like the catalyst for it. It kind of sped everything up, but I definitely think that you can lift all you want. And if you don't have that self-love for yourself, like, you're never gonna, like, be like, okay, I made it. But I feel like looking at yourself, like, lovingly and, like, you're not gonna say something mean to your mom. Like, pretend like you're talking to your mom in the mirror, you know?
That's really good advice. Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna be like, mom, you look fat today. Like, you're gonna be like, oh, hey, mom. Like, what's up? Have you been eating too many donuts? You got donuts.
That's how you got to talk to yourself.
Yeah, just a little nicer.
With the most love.
It's all about love and treating yourself with kindness. But I also think that you can't treat yourself with kind, or you can't treat others with kindness unless you treat yourself with kindness.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I found that most people that just are rude and in just normal everyday circumstances don't have that much self-love for themselves, because they want to project it onto others. Like, you want a funny story? Me and my friend Eva, we were at the gym, and Eva was feeling so good about herself. Like, she finally was eating the proper amount of food, fueling her body correctly, like seeing the changes she wanted to be seeing. And she was so happy about it. And she said, Megan, can you please like take a couple pictures of me? And we were just in like the multi-purpose room at the gym, you know, the room with like the mirrors and the dance floor. And so we were taking pictures. I was hyping her up. I was like, yes, Eva, you look so good. And there's maybe like two other people in the room. And there was like one girl, and then there was a lady that was kind of like behind us. And Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of, like, made eye, because it was, like, silly. Like, you kind of have to laugh at yourself, like, when yeah. you're taking pictures in a public place, especially the gym. Definitely get a lot of looks.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So, me being yeah. me, I acknowledged her. I was just waving, like, ha-ha, because she was kind of laughing at us, because it's yeah. funny. Like, it's a funny thing to see.
Yeah.
And instead of just, like, you know, minding her own business, like, kind of, like, or being nice, she could have been nice, she decided yeah. to tell Eva... Why don't you pick up a weight so it looks like you're actually doing something in the picture? And I was like, that was so rude. And Eva, luckily, it didn't process yeah. with her until later. But it made me so mad yeah. because it's like, I feel like at the gym especially, like, everyone's there to work on themselves. Like, why do you have to bring other people down?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm never gonna be laughing at somebody in the gym. Like, everyone's there for their own, like, journey. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, if someone's laughing at themselves, like, we were laughing at ourselves with her. But the fact that she, like, said yeah. that, I was like, really? Like, you don't have enough self-love for, like, yourself and others to just be kind and not rude. I mean, she could have been saying it not meaning to be mean, but I think it was yeah. a little, why don't you pick up a weight? So yeah. I definitely think that also, once you have self-love for yourself, you can be nice to others and make good connections, and it just makes your life so much better, I've found.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a sense of secureness in yourself that allows you to just
yeah.
see somebody with a different lens.
Definitely.
One of my favorite quotes, I think it's a quote, making fun of somebody at the gym is like making fun of sick people at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, I think that quote is like perfect, you know, because you don't go in there and make someone fun of somebody who's trying to get better.
No.
And that's all the gym is.
Exactly.
You know? So, yeah, I don't know. I think that probably does help quite a bit, though, you know, working out and lifting and improving yourself probably helps with your overall secureness.
Definitely.
Because at some point when you find, like, I can appreciate my own body and my own skin, I'm no longer feeling...
like, people are looking at yourself jealous. That, like, yeah...
Yeah.
Jealous, you're not, you're secure.
Jealous, insecure.
Yeah, because a lot of the way that you react in life is just, like, your insecurities are showing. If, like, you know, like, you walk into a room and most people are thinking about themselves and how they appear to other people, not looking at, like, making connections with people in the room. They're just like, oh, they probably think this of me, they probably think that of me. And I think it's, especially with social media and, like, the way that everything is today, like, it's very easy because people are so judgmental online. So it's very easy to, like, translate that into everyday life. It's like thinking, oh, they're probably thinking all these things about me. But you just have to be secure in yourself and, like, love yourself and have enough love for the other people around you to, it's hard, but get out of that and live life without people, like, worrying about what other people are thinking. Which I still do that sometimes, but for the most part, I've been able to overcome that.
Yeah, we all fall victim of it, for sure.
Yeah, it's always working on yourself. Always, every day. It's not like one day where you're going to be like, okay, I've done everything. Like, I think I'm good. I think I'm happy as I am. Yeah, like, you have to be working every day towards, like, the person you want to become, like... That's especially why it's important to have people around you that share the same mindset and the same goals and the same, like, motivation to improve and make the most of every day. Because, you know, you can't waste a day. I mean, you can waste a day here and there, but for the most part.
Yeah, not every day that passes you by. The accountability is another big thing that I'm a big proponent of. The five people you hang out with most, you're probably the average of them.
That is 100% correct.
So that's probably super nice that you have people that are going to the gym with the same mindset of getting better. Because I've gone to the gym with people that have wanted to kill it, and I go in there and I get wrecked.
Yep.
And then I go into the gym with people that want to talk the whole time, And then if I do that for 2 or 3 months, I'm already out of shape. It happens every time. I get stuck in a cycle.
No, it's so true.
But it's so true.
And I've been lucky that all of my friends that I go to the gym with are like my everyday friends, that we just kind of share that same passion of working out. And my best friend, Alta, and I call her Corn. Well, she calls herself Corn. Mm-hmm. I asked her why she called herself Corn, and she said, I just like corn. I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
I love that answer. I think that's so funny, because whenever someone asks me, like, why is her name Corn? I just say that. And they're like, hmm. But we were joking around about starting a business for, like, it was just kind of jokes. And, like, we'd be like, oh, like, business. Like, yeah, that's for our business. So we can do that for our business. And then eventually it just stopped being a joke. And now here we are.
Yeah, it's no joke
with
now.
With a filed LLC and getting all of our licenses and products. Shoot. And we're looking to launch soon, which is exciting. Hopefully the beginning of May. But
I saw that. That seems really exciting. What's been some hurdles you've had to battle through thus far?
Not knowing anything about how to start a business. Because
I believe
that you can do anything by yourself. Yeah, it's good to have, like, people telling you or advising you on how to do things. But I think that it's doable. Yeah. Like, I don't think you need to pay anybody to do it. So just, like, getting all of, like, it's been a lot to figure out what we need, like, what we need to get done.
Yeah.
Or we'd, like, look at a piece of paper and it'd be like, okay, what does this mean? And we call, like, the same, like, help people to like help with Corona. It's hard because you can't go in person. You got to do it all on the phone. So I'm like on the phone with people, like, okay, so this is supposed to be here in this paperwork. They're like, yeah, and then we'll be okay, and then we'll revisit it, called again, and the other person tells us something completely different. So it's kind of like
it's in a different form.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like headaches going in there and there, but we've so far managed it pretty well, and I'm pretty excited about it. So we're finishing up the last few licenses, and then it's go time, baby.
Nice. Beautiful. I will say one thing, one of the biggest things that I've learned since starting a business. Two things now. One, I think you're dead on. It would be nice to have somebody to show you ropes, but you learn so much by failing.
Exactly. I know. That's why, like,
two.
We run into problems. I'm like, it's okay, Alta. It's okay. We're learning. We're going to be, like, the go-to people for this if any one of our friends need to start a business.
And that's a beautiful spot to be in, you know? Like, to have that experience under your belt is so valuable. I'm actually curious. So the business is workout gear. You're starting with resistance bands. Where are you snagging these bands from? Oh, shoot, you have them. That's awesome.
I honestly couldn't tell you much about that because Alta's handling all of the product part. I'm more of like the paperwork, the like the keeping us on track, the money portion. So I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah.
She has all the details on that. So I guess you're going to have to do a podcast with her soon if you want to know the details.
Got to. Yeah,
but
put it on the list.
I can show you our bands. They're really, look it, we got our logo on there. I made that logo in Google Images. So.
That's nice, yeah. It's clutch.
I know. So it's really nice. We have two different bands. We have that one's the like longer one, and then we have this cool camo color, which we really want to do something different, and we wanted to do good quality because there's a lot of shitty quality on the internet.
Yeah. And that's, especially resistant bands, so few and far between.
Hey, I get so mad with companies, like more so bathing suit companies, because I get so many DMs from all these companies that just buy from like wholesalers, and then they're all the same bathing suits, and they all just try to be like, hey, like, just like, you know, they don't do anything different. And I think that it's very important to stand out from everybody else, because at the end of the day, like, it's your brand, it's your business, and you don't want to just be copying everything. And I feel like everyone just sees all these trends, like, especially like Gymshark. Like, people saw how much the flex leggings were selling. I'm not sure if you're aware of what the flex leggings are. Oh, you are.
I feel like I'm pretty aware.
Yeah, and everyone was making knockoffs of them, and they were just poor quality. So I think like the biggest thing that me and Alta agreed upon when we were like, okay, that we're actually going to do this, is we wanted to do it, first of all, correctly. We wanted to go through all the right steps. We didn't want to rush into it, and we wanted to provide the best product we could for people, because I feel like there's so many influencers just promoting these not so good products, and I wanted to stand apart from them and just really stand behind the products that we're selling, because I'm such a person that I don't have a good conscience if I know that I'm like promoting something that isn't the best. Like if I'm raving about legit. Something and I'm like, oh, this is the best, like the quality's so good, but it's terrible. Like I will never be that person. And I've had like clothing companies like send me clothes and I'll never promote it because I'm just like, this is terrible quality. Like I don't want anyone to buy this.
Yeah.
And they harass, I still get emails from them these days, but it's like, what? It was maybe cost of them like $5 to give to me.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't like, that's the one thing I was like, no, like if I'm going to have my name behind something, I want it to be good. So that's, I'm really happy with how things are turning out from what I'm like looking at everything. And we've sold some to our friends and family, and we're going to be launching beginning. But then after the fans, we're going to get some like cropped hoodies. Hopefully we're looking into some leggings and sports bras type thing. So we got big plans. But for our first launch, it's just the Vans. And I think it couldn't have came at a better time. Everyone's sold out of Vans right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seriously, Amazon doesn't have any in stock.
I know.
I've tried to buy some. There's nothing on there.
I bought one of the last, like, long Vans that was, like, in it. Because I was like, I need heavy weight. Like, I can't not have heavy weight. Because I have, like, little dinky weights in my living room gym I've set up. But
yeah.
So I bought like one of those heavy resistance bands to mimic heavyweight, which has done that pretty well. But it was like one of the last four.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, exactly.
But so I'm,
so the demand is high.
Yeah, the demand's high. So I think this past year has been crazy. Everything's just fallen into place for me and I don't know why, but I thank the universe. I think my good karma is probably coming back to me finally. I believe in karma.
All those good deeds you did.
Yes, all the positive, the good, kind things I've done for people, the way I treat people, I think it's coming back. Better be.
and all the hard work, you know, you've been putting in the extra effort to make things happen.
Definitely a big nitpicker on myself, so I'll be the last person to tell you that I did a good job at things. But I appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you. I think I'm a hard worker, but I'll let other people be the judge of if I'm really a hard worker. Yeah.
It's the nature of being a perfectionist, I think, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you can't help but go for it.
Yeah.
And you're huge on goals. Oh. You're super goal-oriented. So it's like, if you don't achieve your goal, I imagine it's quite frustrating.
Yes. I make lots of lists every day. This quarantine has just been me making lists every day of like, okay, what do I want to do today? What do I want to get accomplished? Because if I don't feel like I did something in my day, I feel like missing something. So I'll like make little goals.
Now
I'm at the point where I've pretty much done everything that I could around my house. So I'm just kind of like, okay, maybe I should make a goal to watch a Netflix show or something. Well,
honestly, that's important.
Yes.
To relax, like have a goal of relaxing it's tough.
You sound like my therapist. She says, Megan, you need to put good, like relaxing goals on your list too. So I put tanning in there. I put working out. That's a good.
There you go.
Sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
Positive things.
My mom used to tell me while I was in college, because I'd be like so ramped up on all the courses I had to do, she'd be like, you have to work out, like that's the only time you're not thinking about everything in the world, you know.
I know,
which was great advice.
No, it's true, which is really nice. It's been I can work out and just feel like the most stressed before, and then after I'm like, oh, I'm fine. Especially days when I don't want to go to the gym and I'm like, no, like I can't go to the gym. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to go to the gym because I'll feel bad if I don't. And then I'm having a shitty day. I go to the gym, come out of it, I'm like a brand new person. And I feel like it's just such a good thing to add into your life. It's solved a lot of my problems, I feel like. It doesn't have to be the gym. It could be anything. It could be any exercise for anybody. So that's the thing. I think people feel like they have to go to the gym, but you necessarily don't. Like maybe if you like doing like Taekwondo, you can do like Taekwondo instead, or like rock climbing.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So that's another thing that's important to mention.
Those are on the list.
Yeah. On my new list.
I kind of want to talk through how you make your goals and how you stick to them, because I'm super curious, because I'm very goal-oriented, and I think people that listen to this are also very goal-oriented. So it's super interesting to see, you know, how do you make your goals?
Well, I look at long-term and short-term goals. I did this recently. Okay. So I think about my long-term goals. I've done my long-term goals. I think they're manageable. You got to make them manageable. You got to make sure that your goals can be attainable. They're not like crazy out there. That could be long. If they're crazy out there goals, put them in the long-term goals and see how it goes. But short-term goals, definitely, like, I'm going to be able to, like, do this. Like, it's okay to reach, but you have to, like, know, like, I have the steps to get this, or find out the steps that is needed in order to achieve your goal. So, like, I'm really hard on myself, if I'm completely honest with you. I'll make sure that I get my goals done. And if I don't get them done the day that I want it to, I'll get it done the next day. But I think it's very important to not procrastinate. I learned that skill, especially with all my online classes, because I'm doing school through all this too. I'm trying to... I just changed my major. So it was a lot worse before. I was trying to go for kinesiology, pre-physical therapy, realized I don't understand chemistry whatsoever, failed it 2 semesters. So then after that, because I was like, okay, like, I tried it 1 semester, didn't work out, tried it the next semester, still wasn't working out. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's time to reassess my goal here. And so I took a step back and I changed my major to like business marketing, which I think is probably a lot better for me because I love. Really good. I'm going to be able to do something with it. But I think it's definitely important to not procrastinate, because especially with online classes, you can get a lot, like, you can get caught behind. So instead of like waiting till the day of the deadline, you got to get things done right away, or like work on everything. Yeah. Like if you have a goal, work on it little bits, like break it up into chunks. So you have your main goal and then you make smaller goals within the goals. Does that make sense? So I think that's been really helpful, is not to just look at the big picture, because I get very overwhelmed. I get a lot of anxiety thinking about the big goal, the big picture. So I got to take a step back and be like, okay, what are little things that I can do to like achieve this, or even break it down even smaller? So it's just making it manageable, making it attainable for the time being, because you can maybe do a part of your goal right now that's attainable, but you might be reaching a little bit to finish it right away. So you got to take your time, take your steps, look at it from all aspects. I think that's the biggest thing, is just breaking it down into attainable, more easy to swallow things to get done.
Setting yourself up for success. Yes.
Really. Exactly. If you could
it's like, you got to equip yourself.
Yeah. So just knowing what it is going to take to be successful, getting those tools in your little toolbox, and then using them.
Yeah.
So I think, and sometimes you got to get the tools before you can use them. So there's lots of steps. It depends how crazy your goal is, but you can do anything you set your mind to. And that's something that my mom has told me since I was a little kid. So I think that's really stuck with me.
Yeah. And I agree with that. True. I think that's super true.
Yeah.
What's the craziest goal you got right now?
My long-term goal, I want to have in 10 years, I want to have $50,000 in my savings account, which is doable. I think I can probably exceed it.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's like my crazy goal right now, because last year was terrible for me. Like financially, I was so stressed, like living paycheck to paycheck. Finally got out of that, have a savings going, like good Love things. That. Yeah. So I think definitely the energy you put out into the world is the energy you get back. So like the moment that I switched my mindset to like, okay, positivity, like, like reaching towards my goals, making little adjustments in my day-to-day life to make my goals more achievable, I was able to then like manifest the goals and like manifest good things happening back to me. Cause I feel like the energy you give out, you get it back tenfold. So if you're going to give out negative energy about how you're never going to get out of your little rut, then you're never going to get out of it. Because the moment you change your attitude, you're really you're out. You're running.
Yeah, I agree. It's so interesting to me. Like every time I'm in a roadblock, I always ask myself, is this something mentally that I'm missing? Like, am I just not thinking that I can solve this issue? Because for me, self-sabotage is real.
Uh-huh.
Like if I start to think that I can't do something, I will go out of my way to not achieve it, surprisingly.
Yeah.
And it happens to me all the time.
No, 100%.
It's so fascinating.
And, like, side note, like, if you're somebody else, like, if you're helping them out with their goals and they're, like, not having that mindset that, oh, I can do this, and they're just kind of putting themselves down and you're trying to bring them up, they're never going to get out of it, mm-hmm. unless they do it for themselves. Like, you gotta want it from your heart to do it. And if you don't want it, then it's not going to come. But if you're optimistic about it and put the good energy out, I just believe in that 100%. It's important.
Yeah. I 100% agree. we're coming down to the last two questions of this podcast. So I got to make sure they're extra banging. First question is, what is the best beach in San Diego?
Oh.
Which is a tough one.
It's not too tough. Well, it depends. There's two. I have my favorites. Favorites for different purposes. So.
Okay. Hit my favorite, I'll give you two.
My favorite one from, like, to hang out, like, if you just want to go down to the beach and, like, see a bunch of people that you might know, or, like, just be congregated around, like, you know, a bunch of young people, D Street is my OG hangout spot. I love D Street. It's right next to Moonlight. Don't go to Moonlight. That's where the families go. You got to go down a little bit. And that's just a bunch of, like, just young adults. Some, like, I started going there when I was 16. So, like, 16 through, like, probably 30-year-olds hanging out, like, just hanging out by the stairs. Yeah. I love that beach, except you don't have cell service. So if you want cell service, but they do have a bathroom. So if you're going to be needing to use the restroom. Yeah. And they have the food court area, and they have a bunch of walking food areas in distance.
Oh,
so that's always a good one.
Sounds great.
But if you really want cell service, oh, I don't know if I should give this one away. This one's my favorite one, but it's okay. We'll have a big party on the beach. But by Army Navy Academy, in Carlsbad, there's, like, this beach. I won't give the exact location. I'll just kind of explain it, because I honestly don't exactly know what it's called. But there's just, like, a little cul-de-sac, and there's, like, a beach opening. And 9 times out of 10, there's always parking, and there's self-service, and there's just a big open beach. It's really pretty, and there's usually not a lot of people there.
Dang.
So it's one of my favorites. Shoot. If you just want to, like, get a big group of people and, like, not be bothered and just kind of hang out. And the water's pretty good there, but there's no bathroom and there's not really food near.
Hmm.
So you got to weigh your options. Ooh. So if you're going to just be camped out, you're going to bring everything to the beach, 100% Army Navy beach. But if you're going to want to go and, like, walk around, get food, use the restroom, like, play volleyball, D Street. So you got options there. I love the beach.
Okay. Same. Big proponent of the beach. Now I don't know why I didn't even think of what my favorite would be.
Yeah, what is your favorite?
But those are good. I do enjoy Carlsbad.
Carlsbad Beach. Right by
the village.
Yeah. I haven't gone there.
I do enjoy that beach.
I don't know what it is. I think it's, like, the parking situation, because I get stressed out parking. So, like, easy parking, love it.
It gets dicey.
I think that's why D Street and the one place, because there's always parking. So I'm, like, never stressed out about it. But any other beach I go to, I'm just anxiety ridden trying to park. Unless someone else is driving, then, like, I'm happy with whichever beach.
But, anywhere we go is fine.
Yeah, but if I'm driving and I have to park, we better be parking.
my number two, I want to say, I don't forget the name of it. It's in San Clemente, but I don't think that's even in San Diego County. So
yeah, I don't think that counts. My favorite beach of all time is Thousand Steps Beach. I will give you that one. But that's not in San Diego.
Okay.
That's in Laguna.
It's not. Yeah, it's not.
I love that beach. Lots of good memories there.
We'll have to put a ranking in the show notes. We'll collaborate on our top five together.
I think that's good.
best beaches to visit.
Yes, 100%.
All right. Oh. Final question, Megan. And this one's a doozy. So yeah, if you had to talk to a class of first graders, what piece of advice would you give them?
Take lots of naps, and probably that you can do anything that you set your mind to, as long as you treat people with respect respect yourself, respect mm-hmm. others, and like put just treat everyone with like love. And I feel like you can't go wrong. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
I wish I knew that back in the day, that if you just put all your worries aside, just focused on like building connections with other people, not being rude because someone, like, don't overreact. Yeah. Like I work in the kids club at LA Fitness as well as nanny. So mm-hmm. I'm dealing with mm-hmm. kids a lot that are like in that age mm-hmm. range, and they just argue over the stupidest things. And it just causes like this a big quarrel about no reason. Like, it could have been avoided. And I think the biggest thing is that you need to treat others with respect, or else they're not going to respect you. And then that's not going to get you anywhere, because it's at the end of the day, like, you got to treat other people the way you want to be treated. And a lot of people, especially young kids, forget that, and they just go off of emotions.
Yeah.
So to take a step back, don't go off of your emotions, kind of process everything, analyze, see things from the other person's perspective. And then if you still feel that way and you've taken into their account, that's fine. But as long as you kind of tried to see where the other person's coming from. But I think it's all about communication. Yeah. Life's all about communication and treating each other with respect and understanding.
That's for sure.
Because you're not going to get anywhere trying to talk to someone who doesn't want to change their mind, doesn't have their mind open. Like, you gotta want to collaborate and like talk to people who have their open mind. They're open to hearing ideas. They don't just shut down ideas. Like, you gotta be open to things and not just shut people down, because sometimes people have really good ideas and you can't judge a book by its cover. You gotta listen to everything that they have to say. Mm-hmm. I think people forget that too. They think they know everything about somebody, but they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. I will be the first to say that I don't know anything. I don't know much about anything. So bring on all the good ideas. I'm here to listen.
Exactly.
Megan, where can we find you on the internet? How can we support
you? Lots of places. My main one is my Instagram at Megan Marie with 3 E's and an underscore.
Marie.
Yeah. What else we have? I have a TikTok. It's the same thing. TikTok's hip with the kids. I'm trying to relate.
That's right. Yeah.
Where else? YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, Megan Marie. Pretty much everything's on my Instagram. I have a website where you can buy my workout guides. Home and in the gym, but they're very affordable and they're very good. So I have my website too, MeganMarieFitness.org. I got a .org there.
Oh.
I know. I feel official.
Nice. Organization.
Yeah. And then MXK Athletics for our resistance bands and our soon-to-be booming company. I'm speaking it into the world. I'm manifesting it. We're going to get lots of good profit, lots of good sales, lots of good customers. And so far we have.
That's right.
Most people are happy with the bands they've gotten and they're raving about them. So I'm happy too.
Yeah. So check them out. Check out Megan's stuff. Megan, you've been a blast to chat with. I'm so happy you've been on the show.
I'm happy that wonderful. You had me. I'm glad that you asked. I love. We were just me and Alto were just talking about how we wanted to go on a podcast or do a podcast, and then here you came. Manifestation. We put it onto the universe. Wow. It came back to us.
Meant to be. Meant to be. It was supposed to happen.
The dominoes all fell in the right, order.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to tune in next week for the show. It's Friday at 6 a.m. with Noah Kesslin. He's got 800,000 followers on TikTok, 11.8 million likes, and he's got 16 on Instagram. 16,000, not 16. He volunteers with Motivating the Teen Spirit, a program that allows teens to teach how they better under who they they're. It helps teens understand how to better under their full potential. It gets teens their full potential, darn it. See you next week.